ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing discussion of Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Name number 663 is Vishnu. In Vishnu Sahasranam, this is the name Vishnu, came as the second name. The first name is Vishva, Vishva, Vishnu. And came again at name 259, and now again at name 663. It's been discussed previously, and the compiler of this commentary, which I'm working from, the Narasimham Krishnamachari, he doesn't give any further commentary on this. However, I shall do, following Baladev Vidyabhushan, who comments on the name that just came before, Anirdeshavapu. Baladev stated that he gave the meaning of this name, that it is impossible to describe his ultimate personal features simply by dry philosophical speculation devoid of bhakti. But in contrast, he says, the name Vishnu, by the philosophical method, one will be able to understand or reach to his impersonal feature as the all-pervading Brahman effulgence. Yadadvaitin Brahma Upanishadi Tadapyasya Tanubha. In the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have a description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is described in the Upanishads as the Brahman, that is the light of his body, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the commentary I have, it's quoted from Baladev Vidyabhushan, an explanation of the name given, of the name Vishnu. It says given in Srimad Bhagavatam by the Lord himself, but it's not in Bhagavatam, and I suspect it's from Vishnu Purana. Vyapta me rodasi partha kantis cha vyadhika mama adhibhutani chanteshu tad ichchangs chasmi bharata kamanach chapyahang partha vishnur ityabhisangitaha adhibhuta. If adhibhuta dasis happens to be tuned into this, then you can see his name came up here also. So, in short, this is translated, Krishna tells Arjuna that my impersonal effulgence pervades both heaven and earth, and therefore I am known as Vishnu. And we find Arjuna himself saying to Krishna a similar thing right there in Bhagavad Gita, as Arjuna is seeing the all-pervading Vishvarupa, universal form, he says to Krishna, Sarvam samapnoshi tatosi sarvaha, you are all pervading, and thus you are everything. From Shiva's prayers to Krishna in the Harivamsa Bhavishya section, he states, Lord Shiva gives the meaning of various names of Vishnu, and he says that because you are Vish, or all pervading, you are known as Vishnu. Okay, Hare Krishna. An amazing, the name of Vishnu is such a, one of the best known names. We have Vishnu Sahasranam, but it's at this point is summed up very briefly. The next name 664, Viraha, is also a name that has already appeared here in Vishnu Sahasranam. This one appeared as name 402. Then word Veera is well known in modern Indian languages up to the present time. Veera means, translated in English as hero. And Mahavir is, in the Jain tradition, is the name of the first Tirthankara, and then Mahavir is also generally refers to Hanuman, so the big hero. So Veera, this is the name of Vishnu. Ultimately all names, they trace back to Vishnu. So Veera is, the meaning of this, the four different meanings are given here. And they all mean hero, but they're all derived from different sense, in different ways. They're derived from Sanskrit understanding. And they all come to the same point. So you start off with the same root, expand it in different ways, and bring it back to the same point, the same Sanskrit root. Parashara Bhatta. He derives the interpretation from this name from the root Ajagati Kshepanayo, who drives or leads, and a grammatical rule which states that vi is the substitute for aja under certain conditions. This is from Panini's Ashtadhyayi. So it's all very scholarly, it's all based on Shastra, there's no speculation or imagination. Using all Sanskrit rules, and he comes up with the meaning, he who is valiant or brave, the quality of a hero is that he's valiant or brave. Of course, in modern English usage, a hero generally doesn't just mean someone who's brave, but someone who actually achieves something via bravery. And nowadays, the word hero is mostly used, I would think, in relation to sports. Cricket hero. Where's the heroism in modern warfare? Previously, warriors, they were known as heroes, but where's the heroism in pressing a few buttons and guiding a drone to kill someone on the other side of the world? There's no heroism there. Where's the heroism in strapping a bunch of bombs to your body and going in a market and blowing a bunch of people up? Terrorism. In Indian English, hero is used to translate the word Nayaka, which is literally means a leader, but is used in drama to mean the hero in a drama. Therefore, we have the Bollywood heroes or the cinema heroes. But Krishna, of course, is the supreme leader, but hero means, heroic, valiant. Now, the next meaning given, there's another commentator who says that his valor, that means his valor means his courage. It has a specific purpose. There's foolish courage also, just like the courage of someone who climbs barehanded up a skyscraper building. For what purpose? To get arrested if you don't fall down and die and come in the newspapers. But a hero means the heroism has some specific purpose, and that's for destruction of the enemies. You may think, how has God got enemies? Well, his names are the Shatrughna, is a well-known name of the Supreme Lord, specifically relating to the fourth son of Dasharath, and literally means the killer of enemies. And there are many such names, Ripuha,
Ripuha.
Shatrughna means killer. Shatru means enemy.
Yes.
And Ghna means killing. So, you didn't know that? Now you know. You learned something. That's what Shatrughna means. Yeah. So Parashara Bhakta relates this, as he does with all the names, how everything Vishnu does is out of his kindness for his devotees. So when he's killing the enemies, that means those who are tormenting his devotees. Indrari Vyakalam Lokam, those who cause disturbance, the enemies of Indra who cause disturbance in the universe. So he causes terror in the hearts of his devotees' enemies. Shankaracharya goes in another way to the root vigati. Vigati, vyati, prajananan, kanti, asana, khadaneshu, to say that this means he who goes, who pervades, who obtains, who throws, who conceives, who is born, who shines, who is beautiful, who desires, who eats. So in this way you could come up with many meanings for the word vira. You wouldn't generally think that vira means someone who eats. It's not usually connected. You could have an eating champion also. We used to have in the grand old days of ISKCON, eating champions, gulab jamun eating contest, after the feast. Who can eat the most gulab jamuns? And you have to catch, they're thrown, you have to catch in your mouth also. So anyway, nowadays we're more civilized, and I didn't hear of any gulab jamun eating contest recently, so it could be a hero in that way also. And Vishnu, yeah, he's a great eater. But when it comes to eating, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as an ideal sannyasi, was reticent to accept the invitation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you come and I'll cook a big feast for you. He said, I can't eat a big feast, I'm a sannyasi. He said, you don't fool me. Right here in Puri as Jagannath, you're taking 56 offerings a day. And then you expanded yourself into all the cowherd boys so that you could eat personally in the homes of all the cowherd people of Vrindavan. He defeated him. He's a big eater, Krishna. He eats a lot. How many Tirupati laddus are churned out every day? Must be a few lakhs every day. I mean, he eats them all first of all. So if you want to imitate God or call yourself God, it's not a good idea. You don't have the same digestion, not an eating champion like him. Another meaning, that he who goes, so it gives the idea, he goes quickly into the hearts of his devotees, and he also moves quickly against his devotees' enemies. So again, it comes out as the hero, the valiant hero. And in this regard, we are reminded of the Narasimha Vapu incarnation, who is described early in the Vishnu Sahasranama, which also reminds us the Narasimha Vapu, the one who took the form of a man and a lion combined, that also reminds us of the Anirdeshya Vapu, unpredictable form. He can take any form he likes. You can't describe him as this or that. Is he a man? No, men don't have a face like that with a big mane and big ears. Is it a lion? No, lions don't have legs like that. Is it a man? Is it a lion? No. Narasimha Vapu. Then other meanings for the name: one who destroys the enemies, one who makes them tremble and run and makes them show their backs. So hero. And one of the commentators has suggested that by meditating on this name, devotees of Narayana, Vishnu, Vira should also be heroes in conquering the internal enemies, the worst enemy the internal enemies, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, madness, all these enemies. Then moving on to the next name, Ananta, another well-known name, which means unlimited, one who has no end. He's an Adi Ananta, no beginning and no end. Parashara Bhatta, starting from here right up to name 683, that's 19 names. He uses them all, or he explains them all in terms of the Supreme Lord's vibhutis. And vibhuti is roughly translated as opulence or some exceptional quality. Now, wait a minute, where am I going here? Backtrack slightly. Baladeva Vidyabhushan describes Vira. I don't have the derivation of this, it's a completely different meaning. That he eloquently expounds the perfect philosophy of spiritual life. Okay, on to Ananta. Baladeva Vidyabhushan begins his writing of his commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranama with his Mangala Acharan, his auspicious invocation. And the first words of that Mangala Acharan are Ananta Kalyana Guna. These are common words, especially we'll find that this term Ananta Kalyana Guna we'll often find in the writings and utterances of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. There is from the Vishnu Purana, which is of course a major text of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, they give much importance to that. There is a quotation from that given in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is in Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary. Ananta Kalyana Gunatmaka Soul. He is that one who is composed of Ananta Kalyana. Oh, yeah, I should explain what that means. Unlimited Kalyana Guna means auspicious qualities. So this whole Vishnu Sahasranama can be said to be simply a description. All the names, they pertain to his Ananta Kalyana Guna Vaishishtya, his Vaishishtya, his specialty, his uniqueness in having unlimited auspicious qualities. Every one of his auspicious qualities is unlimited, and he has an unlimited number of auspicious qualities, Ananta. We can't come to the end of them. There are 1,000 names. We may say, well, some of the names come up more than once, but if they come up more than once, they come in different contexts. So this is, it's not repetitive. And it can, there are unlimited names of the Supreme Lord. Sri Vaishnavas, they often, you'll find they call out Achyuta, Ananta, Govinda. They like to call that out. Sri Bhatta, Parashara Bhatta. He gives the understanding of this name, Ananta. Na asya desha kala vastuta avadhaya santi iti Ananta. He for whom there is no limitation of space, time, or object. There's no limitation of space. We're limited in space. I'm parked in this here body in a particular part of a very tiny part of the smallest universe. We happen to be in the smallest of all universes. And in a flick of time, not even that in time. If you see this body, okay, now this body's been alive for 62 years, according to the calculation of this planet. Just over 62 years. Actually, it's almost 63 years if we take from the time of conception, because life, as we know it, began at that time. So, If we take all the time prior to that, and we can calculate that from the time of the manifestation of the universe, from the Vedic Puranic knowledge, we can calculate that, and take all the time up to the end of the universe, and we take the 62 years that this body has been alive, and maybe another, who knows, 62 seconds, maybe, 62 months, possibly, 62 years, unlikely, but very unlikely. So if we take that time, it's just, it's just a flash. You don't have time to sneeze. Brahma doesn't have time to sneeze. When he sneezes, the Varaha avatar comes. So it's just here and gone. But then if we take the whole time of the universe, that's also just a flash in time. And we're flash in time, and a fleck in space. That is the existence of this body. Krishna is not limited by this. He's there in all time, all place. There's no limitation of space, time, or object. He is Anantamurti. He has unbounded forms. He says in the chapter, the Vibhuti Yoga chapter, Nasyanto Vistarasya Me, I have unlimited forms. He expands his Vibhutis. Everything is a manifestation of his, of he. He's so wonderful, his opulence is. The atheists, they cannot see God anywhere. But the theist sees God everywhere. Everything about him is so amazing and wonderful. The atheist looks at the universe and considers how complex it is and thinks, well, no one could have put that together. It must have just happened. Just happened. Not very scientific. The theist looks and sees, oh, this is so complicated, and it's all the creation of Bhagavan, his unlimited intelligence. And then, of course, Arjuna, after hearing about, briefly about, Yadyat vibhuti matsadvam srimadurjitam eva va tatta deva vagatcha tvam namatejong sasambhavam. Krishna said, he said a few things. I am the Himalayas, stavaranam Himalaya, paladas chasmi daityanam, all these things. He gave all these. I am the Himalayas among the immovable objects. I am, what was the other one I said? Pralad among the daityas. Was there some? After giving a few, he just says, well, anyway, what's the point of saying all that? Anyway, it's just unlimited and all this. So Arjuna said, can you show me? And that's chapter 11 of the Gita. Krishna showing Arjuna something of his unlimited nature. Well-known words from the Shruti, Taittiriya Upanishad, Anandavali, Satyam Jnanam Ananta Brahma, as one of the qualities of Brahma. Somehow or other, the impersonalists who are very fond of the Upanishads, they come up with the idea that there are no qualities in Brahma. But here, right in the Upanishad, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. So how can they say no qualities? Somehow they come up with the idea. So he is Satyam, truth, existence, Jnanam, knowledge, and Anantam, infinite. Ataitasya eva anto nasti tad brahma. Then in the Taittiriya again, there is no limit or end. Ata, therefore, in this, there is no end, anto nasti, no end. No limit. Then Sri Shankaracharya gives various additional reasons why he could be called Ananta. Vyaptitvat, nityatvat, sarvatmatvat, deshatahat, kalatahat, vastutaschat, aparichinna, anantaha. So, in his qualities of pervasiveness, same as Vishnu, he's all pervading. In his quality of being eternal, in his quality of sarvatmatvat, he is the Atmatma, he is the being of all beings. He is all beings. He is all places. He is all times. He is all objects, all substance. So in this way, he is Ananta. It's certainly beyond our ability to conceive of him within our minds. From the Vishnu Purana, Gandharvapsarasa Siddha. Kinaro ragat charanaha nantam guna nam gacchanti tena ananta ayam avyayaha. Then Gandharvas, apsaras, siddhas, kinaras, uragas, and the charanas are unable to find the end of his attributes. Hence, he who is avyayaha, imperishable, is also called ananta. Then more, so many references from the Pasurams of the Divya Prabandhams. Another commentator, Radha Krishna Shastri, has given the meaning. How he is unlimited by time. He quotes from Katha Upanishad, the well-known statement, Nityo Nityanam. Yeah, just this much he quotes. He is the eternal among all eternals. He exists now, he exists in the future. Bhuta Bhavya Bhavad Prabho, we find in Vishu Sahasranam. He is the one who existed before, will exist in future. He is the Supreme Lord. He pervades everything inside and out. Eko Deva Sarva Bhuteshu Gurha Sarva Vyapicha Bhagavan. From Shvetashvatara Upanishad. And again from Shvetashvatara, Naiva Sri Napumanesha. He is everything there is. You can't say he's a man or a woman or anything else. Not a man or woman of this world. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that he is Ananta because he is beyond the reach of those who are not pure in their mind. Cannot be. If we go to the end of our mental speculation, this great scientist, Einstein, oh, what a great scientist. He went beyond the limits of science and made new understandings. But then some other scientists will come and make some more, and the limits of science increase and increase. But however much we go with our brain, our intelligence, we won't even begin to approach the tip of the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, even by any material means. The most sophisticated material means is not scientific speculation, it's yogic meditation, by which the mind expansion. Regarding this, Lord Brahma says, Panthastu koti shata vatsara sambragangyo vayora tapi manasomuni pungavanam. So pyasti yat prabhada sinya vinchintya tatve govindavadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The yogis who travel at the speed of mind for thousands of years, the mind unfettered by normal shackles, they travel at the speed of mind, but they cannot even begin to approach the tip of the toe of the lotus feet of Govinda, who is the original person who we have to worship. One understanding of Ananta, because he's unlimited, but it's also said he's unchanging. That's a name that comes up in Vishnu Sahasranam in various ways. Achala, he's unmoving. Avyayaha, non-deteriorating. He himself is unchanging, but his glories are ever increasing. And therefore he can be called Ananta. Ananta is, of course, also one of the important names of Lord Baladeva, the elder brother of Krishna. Ananta, Sankarshan, is another important name of his. Regarding the name Ananta, we have right there in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is described, Vasudeva Kalananta Sahasravadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Hare Priya Chikirshaya. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan. Vasudeva Kalananta. This Ananta, who is Baladev, is Vasudeva Kala. He is a Kala, a plenary expansion of Vasudeva. Of course, Balaram himself can also be called Vasudeva because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's also the son of Vasudeva. But here, Vasudeva refers to Krishna. So the foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Sahasravadana Swarat. There's Sahasravadana that refers to Ananta, who is the Ananta Naga, the snake, sofa, what's the word, couch of Lord Vishnu, who has thousands of heads, and from all those heads, he is glorifying the Supreme Lord, but in unlimited time, he cannot come to the end of even one of the qualities of the Supreme Lord. So Sahasravadana Swarat, he is fully independent, and that's described there in Bhagavatam. This Ananta will appear before Krishna, Priya Chakirshaya, with the desire to please, to act for pleasingness. So some other points. The terms Anadi, Ananta, and Avyaya appear in Bhagavad Gita to describe Krishna. That which is anadi, beginningless, is also ananta, endless, and avyayaha, undiminishing, as described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 16, nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayor api drishtontas, what's the last line? Api drishtontas? I forgot it. Ubhayor api drishtontas? Lost it. No unlimited intelligence for me. So that which is real has no... That which is unreal has no existence. That which is real is eternally existent. Of course, it can be said about karma that it is anadi, but it can come to an end. That anadi, karma, is described in the Vedanta Sutras as beginningless, but it can have an end. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, I can't remember. So then also Najayate Mriyate Vakadach, and even the ordinary soul doesn't die. It doesn't diminish. Only then reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, text 6, purport, even though Arjuna was a personal friend of Krishna and the most advanced of learned men, it was still not possible for him to know everything about Krishna. He was a personal friend of Krishna, so he knew him very well. Very, very well. Very intimate with Krishna. And the most advanced of learned men. How is he the most advanced of learned men? He was a fighter. Not a scholar, per se. But the most advanced because Bhaktosimes, you're my devotee. And Krishna, Bhaktyamama Vijanati. Krishna can be understood well. Through the process of bhakti, yomam eva samudho janati purushottamam sasarva vid bhajati mam sarva-bhavena bharata. One who, Krishna says, accepts me to be Purushottam, the supreme person above all other persons, supreme enjoyer above all other enjoyers. Krishna says, yomameva samurho, without doubting. That person knows everything and therefore worships me in all respects. So in this way, Arjuna is the most advanced of learned men. Baladev says he remains far away from those who are impure at heart. So that echoes the previous... No, it's not that. He is beyond the reach of those who are not pure in their mind. So that echoes Baladev's comment on the previous name also. No, I'm getting mixed up. Sorry. Yeah, he's beyond the scope of those who are impure at heart. All right, now from Rupa Goswami's charming compendium of verses, the Padyavali, I'm going to quote from one verse by Sri Harihara, who's not a well-known Vaishnava poet, but that was Rupa Goswami's. He stated that in compiling his Padyavali, that there are so many well-known Vaishnava poets, I'm going to put in the verses from not well-known Vaishnava poets. And he also included a few of his own compositions, and also some from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, including from Shikshashtakam, as well as the Napi Vaisho Na Shudro, I'm not anything of this world verse. So here's the translation of another, this gives another meaning of the word Ananta, one who doesn't bow down. Bow down, naman, go down, one who doesn't go down. So this is the playful, it describes some playful bantering between Radha and Krishna. So Krishna says to Radha, Radha, you have become kupita, angry. And Radha retorts, Ku means earth, and Pita means father. It is you who are the father of the earth. You are Kupita, not me. And you are the mother of the universes, Krishna says to Radha. No, you are the actual mother of the universes, Radha said. You are omniscient. No one is your equal. And of course, in Gita, Krishna says he is the mother of Pita, Pita hamasya jagato, I am the father and the mother of this universe. So then Krishna describes Radha as Ananta. Oh, Devi, your skill in joking lovers' quarrels is Ananta, unlimited skill. Radha doesn't say, okay, but she shoots back at him. So nan means bowing down, ta means the state of being, nanta. And A means without. So it's you who are Ananta, because you won't bow down before anyone. And hearing this, Krishna very happily smiled and bowed down at the beautiful feet of the beautiful gopi, Sri Radha, and in this way defeated her by saying, she said, you don't bow down to anyone, and he bowed down to her. So she defeated him by having him bow down to her, and he defeated her by proving her contention to be wrong. How beautiful. All glories to Lord Sri Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Krishna. The next name is Dhananjaya. Another well-known name. Dhana means wealth. Dhanmor Nityananda. Rotan Das sings, my wealth is Nityananda. So it means he who surpasses all other wealth. It's the most desirable wealth. What is that most desirable wealth? Krishna. So Krishna is the one who is the wealth, the best wealth of those who desire wealth. In this regard, we can refer to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's one question to Sri Ramananda Rai. Sampati madde jive kon sampati goni Radha Krishna Premja Sri Boro Dhani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, among all kinds of wealth, what do you think is the real wealth for every jiva, for every living being? And the reply came from Sri Ramananda Rai, who has got Radha Krishna Prem, he's the really wealthy person, the biggest capitalist, Srila Prabhupada translates it. So he is the most desirable among all kinds of wealth. And wealth, we generally think gold, silver, diamonds, stocks and bonds, and this is wealth. Have a big house, lots of big cars. I was just reading last night, Srila Prabhupada was saying in one conversation how they visited the house of one Patel. That must have been Bhogilal Patel. It was a very humorous thing, Prabhupada said, because he said, this man, it's only him and his wife and one son and daughter-in-law, but they have so many Rolls-Royce cars. Because he knows if you keep money, then the government will take it away. And it was funny. I was laughing. Yadhe kal. I was laughing at that. Because Srila Prabhupada said that we are all the ministers and you're working hard to save money and we're working very hard to take away all your money. So we have the relaxed ministry. You work very hard and we'll just take all your money and relax. Prabhupada was saying, that's the job of Indira Gandhi and company, because it was Indira's government at the time. So he was saying, Prabhupada said that this Patel had, he spent all his money, rather, otherwise the government just take it away. At that time, I believe it was something like 98% tax or something for rich people, in which they didn't pay. People got around it one way or the other, and it's still going on. Anyway, the real wealth is not gold, silver, Rolls-Royce car. If you have a Rolls-Royce car, that's really expensive. I don't think I've ever saw one in India. Must be here somewhere. Someone somewhere must have them. Must have, but I never saw. Even anywhere else, you don't see it often. That's considered really something. You're really rich if you have a Rolls-Royce car. But what is the use of all these things? Srila Prabhupada, once in Australia, he was picked up at the airport in a Rolls-Royce car, which the devotees had hired for him. And the headlines came in the newspaper, Swami comes rollsing in, because they thought that, what is this? He's supposed to be a holy man, and he has so much money, because they think a holy man means someone who has holes in his shoes or holes in his clothes. So then the journalists asked Prabhupada, say, well, how is it spiritual? They think that to be a materialist means to have lots of money, and therefore to be a spiritualist means to have no money. So how is it spiritual to come in such a fancy car? And Prabhupada said, well, what do you mean fancy car? He said, this is just some tin can car. God goes in a car made of jewels, so his representative should also go. This Rolls Royce, it's nothing. He turned it completely back on them, that they're saying, you're going in such a fancy car. Prabhupada said, fancy car? It's not good enough. That's all you can do in this useless world is give a Rolls-Royce car. So, he's the real wealth. One who has got this wealth, the wealth of Krishna, he doesn't desire any other wealth for himself. So devotees, they're generally not very wealthy. That comes up at the end of the 10th canto. Parikshit Maharaj asks Shukdev, hey, what's going on here? You see this Lord Shiva, he just sits under a tree, he doesn't even have a house, and his devotees are wealthy, and Lord Vishnu is so wealthy, he's Lakshmipati, the Lord of all opulence, but his devotees are very poor. What's going on? And then there's a whole description of that, how Krishna, he makes his devotees poor, but they may be rich also. Devotees may have lots of money. But generally, whenever they have lots of money, he uses it for Krishna's service. Devotees shouldn't keep lots of money. Big bank balance and all the householders, yeah, something, but Jodi Take Bahudan, Tobe Hao, Akinchan, Vaishnava Kara Upaka. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur advises, if you have lots of money, don't be a miser. Use it for Krishna's devotees. Serve the devotees. So gold, diamonds, well, what's the use actually? It's only because people say gold is valuable. Otherwise, what can you do? If you have a lump of gold, say I have a lump of gold in my hand, what am I going to do with it? Well, what's the value? If you have a little rice in your hand, you can eat it. What are you going to do with gold? Well, you could say, well, you could take it to the bank and then sell it, and you get arrested for having so much gold, first of all. You're not supposed to have so much. And then probably someone will kill you on the way. What's the use? This Sanatana Goswami, he was coming with his servant, Ishan, having escaped the prison, and came to the edge of the Hazaribagh hills and the forest, and the hotel keeper was there. Hotel keeper was treating him very nicely. Sanatan had been a politician. He knew, what? I'm just dressed in rags. Why is this hotel keeper being so respectful to me, providing facility for me? And Sanatan started to think. And he asked Ishan, Ishan, did you bring, because previously Sanatana Goswami had huge wealth, being the prime minister of the emperor of Bengal. Practically, Nawab Hussain Shah was the emperor of Bengal. So, Ishan said, yeah, I did bring 7 gold coins. I thought we needed something, so I brought 7 gold coins. Sanatana said, oh, yeah. Shouldn't have done that. People will kill us for that. So then Sanatan took the 7 gold coins from Ishan and gave them to the hotel keeper and said, look, I've got this, it's very dangerous, do me a favor and take it from me. So the hotel keeper said, you see, I keep an astrologer here so I can understand everyone who's coming to there. At the edge of the forest means they're also at the edge of the kingdom. So they're a long way from the capital. There's no law and order. And it's still like that. That means Bihar. It's still like that. It's still wild in much of Bihar. It's been like that for centuries. In Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions also, Jagadananda Pandit, be careful when you're going through Bihar. Dangerous place. So the hotel keeper said, see, I have this astrologer, and he checks out what, by calculation, astrological calculation, he finds out what everyone's got. So I already knew you had 8 gold coins, and I was going to kill you, he told him. But as you have given these coins to me, anyway, you take the coins, I'm happy with your behavior. You take the coins and go. And Sanatan says, no, no, you take them. Don't let me keep this death knell with me. And so hotel keeper said, okay, I'll keep it. And the hotel keeper said 8 gold coins, and Ishan had said 7. So Sanatan went to Ishan and said, Ishan, you got any more? Anything left on? He said, yeah, I have 1 gold coin still. So Sanatan said to him, okay, you take it and go home. He didn't want to keep him with him anymore. You take it and go home. And even 1 gold coin, that's quite a chunk, gold muhur. So Sanatan Goswami went with nothing but Krishna. Had Krishna in his hand. Krishna will protect. Sannyasi is supposed to think like that. He goes in the forest. Even now, we're living here just now for a few weeks on the edge of the forest, and that, not tiger, that cheetah is there. You know about that? There's a leopard in this area. So in those days there were tigers, lions, bears. There must be bears all around here also. Dangerous. Snakes, of course. What to speak, even mosquitoes can kill you. Not immediately, but by giving diseases. So it's very dangerous, but the sannyasi goes in the forest. Oh, and then there's rhinoceroses. What else? If you go to get water, the alligator might get you. The forest is a very dangerous place. But the devotee knows Krishna will protect me. So this is the wealth, real wealth, Krishna. And this is wealth which won't diminish and no one can take away. People may mistreat us, spit on us, urinate on us, as we find in that story of the Avanti Brahmana. They may call us bad names. We may have a bad reputation due to people telling bad things about us, untrue things. Cruel people, cruel in that way. People make politics against us. But if we have Krishna in our heart, that is something they cannot take away if we're fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that's the real wealth. It won't diminish. It will only increase. The love for Krishna will only increase. So, of course, Dhananjaya is also a... Well, let me first of all say, Baladev, he gives this as the name of Krishna. Dhananjaya means who collects money. So, after killing Kamsa, Krishna gave all the wealth, all of Kamsa's treasury to King Ugrasena. Krishna could have taken it himself. In Harivansha Purana, we find everyone was urging Krishna, you become the king of Mathura, you take all the wealth. Krishna was just a boy, but he'd killed Kamsa as well as Chanura. And Kuvalayapura, the demoniac giant elephant. So they said, you're the best one to be the king, you're so powerful. He said, no, let Ugrasena be the king, and gave everything to him. Of course, everything belongs to Krishna. Anyway, so the conqueror of wealth. One meaning is the whole universe belongs to him anyway. So in this way, he's already conquered. It's permanently conquered by him, not that he has to do anything to conquer over it. Now, of course, the name Dhananjaya is mostly connected, not so much directly with Vishnu, as with Arjuna. So Shankaracharya says that the name Dhananjaya here refers to Krishna being represented as Arjuna. In Bhagavad Gita, we have also, in that Vibhuti Yoga section of the Gita, chapter 10, Pandavanam Dhananjaya. Arjuna, I'm you. You are me. among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. What a compliment. You think Yudhishthira, he is the most righteous person. Bhima, just powerful, so powerful, huh? That Kichaka, he pummeled him. I mean, that's just one of the things he did. He pummeled him into a ball, and he personally killed every son of the of Dhritarashtra, with the exception of who is the exception? Vikarna, the one who Yuyodhan came. All the sons of Gandhari, that's more accurate. And there was one son born of his Vaishya wife who came onto the side of the Pandavas. So powerful. And then we don't hear so much about Nakul and Sahadev, but they were no pushovers either. They were powerful. So among the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Krishna says. He's called Dhananjaya because he was sent to collect the wealth that had been abandoned by the Brahmanas after the sacrifice of King Marut. So much gold and was given to the Brahmanas as Dakshina. One of the names we have in Vishnu Sahasranam is Buri Dakshina, one who Vishva Dakshina, one who gives the whole world is in Dakshina. So the Brahmanas thought, we can't carry all this wealth, and what do we do with it anyway? So they just left it all behind. So Arjuna went and collected it all and brought it so that Yudhishthira Maharaj could perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, and therefore Arjuna is known as Dhananjaya. So that's one more verse of Vishnu Sahasranam, 70th verse that I've been through. Parivadatu jano yatha tata va nanu mukharo na vayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama dante nidhaya chuna kang padayani patya kritvacha kakushatam etara hung bravimi hey sadhava sakalameva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurutanu ragam Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kipasindu bhyascha panitanam pavane bhyo Vaishnave bhyo namo namaha.